You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes.
Hi, this is Christina Byrne, and you are watching the Best Practices Show.
Hey guys, thanks for watching the Best Practices Show, where we take a look at the best business practices from the best dental practices all over. And boy, do I have a special treat for you today. And if you're a dentist trying to grow your practice or a team member who's trying to get the schedule right, which is one of your biggest challenges of all time, I have got the perfect show for you. And today we're going to be talking to a worldwide expert, one of my favorite of all time, one of our lead practice coaches. You're going to see she is crazy brilliant. Christina Byrne, you do not want to miss this. So do me a favor, grab a pen and hit the share button. You're going to absolutely love this, and you're going to have to take notes because this is the good stuff. Now, I always love suggestions. And so as I have Chris and the other coaches on here, don't be afraid to ask questions, you know, later on, or continue to send us suggestions, because we love all your suggestions on shows that you guys want to see. Currently, we're up over 38,000 followers on Facebook. I don't even know how many downloads we've had on iTunes, but guys, just thank you so much for everything. And I'm super, super grateful. Now, my guest today, Chris, I know who you are. You've been on the show before. You're one of our, you know, lead practice coaches. And I always joke, I never want to be the smartest person in the room. And you're going to see it today. I'm not even close to being as smart as you are. But if people haven't seen you or don't know who Christina Byrne is, tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do, and all that.
Okay. Well, as Kirk said, I'm one of the lead practice coaches at ACT Dental, and I've been here for about 5.5 years. Can't believe it's been that long already, but it's just a dream come true. I am a dental hygienist and live in Illinois outside of Chicago. I've been in dentistry since 1985. And I've pretty much done it all. I was an assistant. I worked at the front desk. Then I went back to school to become a hygienist. So I've pretty much sat in every chair in the office. Yeah. Dentist.
Yeah. Now, I love this. And we're going to be talking about, you know, block scheduling and some different ways to take a look at this. But let's talk about the why this is so important. Because Chris, typically when we go out to see a practice or a dentist that's stressed, it usually comes back to about three things. It's a financial pressure, it's a time pressure, you know, or getting the scheduling right, or it's a culture issue where we're just working, trying to get, and, but this is a big one, you know, is the time issue. Tell us a little bit about why the schedule is so important to being happy as a dentist.
Well, you have to be intentional about the way you schedule your day. Most of our dentists, they seek us out because of better practice, better life. And so you can't have a better life if you don't have a better practice. And you can't just throw all the appointments up willy-nilly and expect them to fall into place. So there has to be intentionality behind it. One of the things that we see is that when you are not being thoughtful with the schedule, you run into problems. You have holes in the schedule, and that is a big problem. I was sharing with Kirk that if you think about an average doctor per visit production is about $500. For hygiene, it's about $175. And based on a 190-day schedule, if you have one opening per day per doctor, that's going to equate to about $99,000. If you have one opening per day per hygienist, that's going to equate to about $33,000.
Yeah. Now you mentioned that's $500 per hour. So sure. Yeah, for average for right. a dentist, and yeah. 175 for hygienist. That's powerful. That's a lot.
It is a lot. It's a lot. And, you know, I know for myself when I was working clinically, if I had an opening in my day, if my patient didn't show, I was thrilled. I thought, oh, great. Now I can stock my room. I can sharpen my instruments. But I didn't know the business side of it until I came over into ACT. And now I understand that as a provider, I had a responsibility to help the practice to succeed. And so now I understand what those openings per day meant. And a lot of times it's more than one per day. Mm-hmm. And I think, Kirk, you've talked about, you know, one per day, you know, there's at some point where you're losing money, right?
Right, right. The whole thing, I totally agree with this, and Chris, because an empty chair isn't no profit, it's negative profit. So people are like, oh, it's no big deal, it's an empty hour. No, it's a huge deal, because typically, you know, it depends on the profitability of the practice, but typically in hygiene, so when you say 175 per hour and one per day, but if you have one per day in hygiene, you're cutting the profit in half for the whole column. Mm-hmm. Then if you have a second one, you're working for free, you know, or there's no profit at all. And then if you have a third one, you're actually losing money. We could make an argument that it would probably make financial sense to send five patients home and send the hygienist home. Now that's silly. No one would do that. But right. The bottom line is that it trickles down, or it compounds into a big problem later right. on. You can't afford to have cancellations in your schedule.
No. And it's just really about being strategic with it. And, right. you know, I actually don't even like the term block scheduling. So I prefer to call it strategic scheduling, and thinking about how can we plan our day, plan our week, so that we can see all the patients that need to be seen. Our team feels fulfilled. Everybody gets a lunch if that's what you do, and everybody's getting out on time. You know, mm-hmm. there's nothing worse than working into lunch, than staying late. Nobody likes to do that.
What?
But it's true. And when you do that, you know, what kind of a message are you sending to the patients? You know, we all have things to do, and we want to make sure that we're seeing everybody that we need to see. So,
yeah. And that's, one thing, I just love what you're saying, because I'm totally like singing this song with you. And we say this all the time. Time is the new rich. People that know how to use their time have the ability to choose how to use those are the wealthiest people in the world. Now, also, let me just say this. You might be a dentist watching this going, you know, it's 8 to 5. We have an hour lunch. You know, the biggest lies we tell everybody, not the ones we tell other people, it's the ones we tell ourselves, because 8 to 5, you can screw up a lot. You put your screw ups in lunch, you work over, you know, you're always going to compensate for the screw ups that happen within the schedule. So what we're going to be talking about today, Chris, is how do we get that schedule incredibly tight, train patients how to behave. We put them in the blocks that are in the best interest of both parties, right. not just one. And then ultimately, you got to take care of these people that you work with. Like, they're not programmed to just work whenever you're done.
Right.
You know, you can run them through the ringer when you do that. And what a great place you have when you create a practice where people have some predictability. They can go home and be with their families, or we're big fans of the 7 to 3 straight through. They can get in the pickup line, pick up their kids, and people like themselves as a process of working in your office. So I love what you're talking about in this. So help us do this.
How do we do it? Right.
How do we do it?
So it's super easy.
Oh, no, it's not super easy. Like it's like a yoga practice. Like, you got to practice this every day, every week, don't you?
Really do. And it really takes leadership too, from the doctor's aspect, because you're going to hear, I'm going to talk about some things where you're going to have to really stick to what you decide and what you agree with your team, or else this is never going to work. So there's 6 steps that we have. And the first step is number one, and if you've ever seen Kirk speak, you know that this is his number one goal. You have to create the schedule for you. meaning you have to determine what are the days that the practice is going to be closed, the holidays, vacations. Kirk likes doctors to take 1 week per quarter off away from the practice. So what I want you to do, and it's not necessarily going to work for starting January 1, but go out to where your schedule is open and start thinking, you know, it might be July or August at this point, and just start blocking time in the schedule so that you know exactly how many days you plan to work in the next year.
Wait, Chris, I just bought a practice. I'm 32. This guy that I bought the practice from worked evenings and Saturdays. And I mean, I've got handcuffs. Like, I can't do that. Or, you know, you don't understand, the major employer here doesn't let their employees leave the plant. So I could never build a practice like that. What do you say to that?
Well, it all comes from vision. It all comes from your vision. There are people who are going to want that type of practice, and that's fine. There are practices that help to serve those patients and that population, but you have to decide what's right for you, what you want your life to look like. And if you think about the way that business usually runs, is that we try to fit our life into our work. And what we're trying to do is flip that on its head and say, we want you to fit work into your life. Absolutely. So think about what you want your life to look like. Do you want to pick your kids up from school? Do you want to help them with their homework? Or maybe it's the opposite. Maybe you prefer to be there and have breakfast with them in the morning and drive them to school. So then maybe your schedule might look a little different. So it's all about what you want your life to look like and trying to fit your practice into that. And you will find patients to see you.
Amen, sister. And I, like I said, I just love it. Now, the biggest thing is this: when your why gets clear, your how gets easy. Absolutely. And I had somebody ask me this years ago, said, why did you have children in the first place? And he's like, I don't need the answer. You do. And I was like, oh, ouch. Because the cool thing about business is, if you're valuable enough, people will find their way into your schedule. And I could come up, you and I could literally create a list of 100 right now, like hairdressers, you know, orthodontists. Oh, that's a good one. Orthodontists are awesome because they don't work till 9 p.m. because they train people to go leave work, go to that, you know, high-end school, get your kid out of that school, bring them here. You're going to pay in advance. We could go off on a riff on that. But the important thing is, if you're listening to this, what Chris is saying is absolutely true. One more thing, because I love this, is that if you can't take a week, a quarter, and get away from your business, that's a disaster. I'm sorry. Like, you can run a dental practice on 48 weeks a year. You can. Like, just, you've got it.
45.
Absolutely. Train your patients. I'm going away, you know?
That take a lot of time off. And they still are highly profitable because they know how to do this strategically and how to see the right patient at the right time for the right reason. And honestly, if you do what's right, you're going to make money. There's just no way around it.
Amen, sister. I love it. So what's number two?
Okay. So step number two is going to involve figuring out doctor time and assistant time. Okay. And what I mean by that is, there's a really wonderful website, and it's called danby.org. So it's danby.org. And when you get to that website, you will plug in your state and it will tell you everything that your dental assistants are allowed to do in your state and whether or not they need certification or licensing to do that. I would say go to that site, put your state in and see, are my assistants doing everything that they can be doing so that I can do only that which I can do as a dentist, right? So if in your state, your dental assistants can make temporaries, can place fillings, can, you know, take impressions, scan with digital impressions, all of those things, and they're not trained to do it, get them trained to do it so that you can just focus on putting a burr on a tooth. Kirk, your email today was talking about staying in your circle, right?
Right.
That's the one that went out today. So I was like, oh, that's perfect timing.
Yeah. And the key here is this, is that dentists overfunction, which means they think they're the only ones that can do this. And what you do is you burden the whole practice. You burden the practice and you think everybody's not smart. And then by your actions, you prove that they're not smart and everybody can fall into that trap. And it's important to be a little bit self-aware when there are many things your assistant does way better that you should never do, and now with the laws in each state, I mean, you can make an argument, assistants could do a lot. And also think about this, your assistants, you're changing their lives by giving them more responsibility. Right. And you're also telling them you're way more important than just being an assistant here. And what a powerful thing that is, where you get more time and they get more value or more, just more significance in what they're doing every day.
Exactly. And then they feel more part of the team. They have more confidence when they're talking to the patients. They feel like producers in the practice, and they can be, if they can do whitening, why not give them their own column and do some whitening in the office? If they can do digital scanning, give them a column and have them do that. And, just maximize the time that you have when you figure out exactly what you are able to, what you're doing and what the assistants can do, then schedule the time appropriately. When we look at scheduling each doctor out of two rooms and two columns, do it as strategically as possible so that, you've got an assistant working in one room, maybe doing records for a brand new patient. And they might be in there for the first 40 minutes just by themselves, doing a preclinical interview, taking radiographs, getting all of the information from the patient, reviewing medical history, taking intraoral and extraoral photos. I mean, there's so much that they can do while you're prepping a crown. You don't have to do all that stuff. And then you come back over to do the comp exam. And then your other assistant can be doing it with the next new patient. So there's just so many things you can do when you schedule strategically like that.
I love it.
The other piece of step two is to maybe do a time study for yourself too. So when I present this course or this segment at our admin course, I will often mention to doctors, when you first started out in practice, you may have only had one assistant, one hygienist. And so in any given hour, you were called out of the room once maybe to go do a hygiene exam. And now you've got three hygienists and, five times five times five, you've got all of these exams that you're doing, but you're still scheduling yourself the same amount of time to do that DO. Mm-hmm. So we have to think about that. Now, I'm not about padding the schedule, but I can tell you that your admin team is probably doing it for you.
Right.
So it's a good idea to use data. And we have a time study white paper and a form that you can use where what I have you do is take the procedures that you know fairly consistently that you might run over in and start just doing a time study on yourself and say, okay, for the next 3 to 4 weeks, every time I do a crown, I'm going to look at, when am I seating the patient? When am I getting up to do hygiene exam? When am I coming back? When is the patient getting discharged? And use data to see how much time you really need. Yeah. Because you're not doing anybody any favors by saying, I could do that in an hour, and the patients are walking out in 90 minutes.
Oh, yeah. And Chris, 99% of all dentists watching this just drew a line through 2.5 and they go, no, I'm good with that. Everything takes me an hour. I don't need a time study. I know myself pretty well. And 99% of all dental assistants that were watching what you just said go, my doctor has no idea what he's talking about. What you're talking about is that data. Here's the cool thing. If you're a dental assistant, listen, just do what Chris says.
And then don't tell them.
And give them the information. Go, okay, I tracked you last week. These were the top 10 things you did. Look at that. And they'll go, no, it's not true. And you go, look, data doesn't lie. So
it's actually not a bad idea. I'm not saying to be, deceptive or devious or anything like that, but we tend to, when we're observed, we act differently. And so I think there was even studies that even bacteria in a petri dish will act differently when it's being observed.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. So the doctors will know this, and all of a sudden their 12-minute periodic exam is now going to be 5 minutes. So maybe they don't need to know when they're being watched.
I have conclusive evidence that when you're being watched, you change your behavior, because I put the Ring cameras on my house, not for criminals, but for teenagers. And boy, does that work.
So, and you told them, right?
Oh, yeah. They behave so well when they're on camera. It's pretty cool. All right.
That is true. So one of the things that I did to prepare for this call was to get all of these documents that I'm talking about and put them in a folder. So I will get them to John and we'll add them to the podcast. I need to take one step back, because we need to talk about also figuring out what our production goals are. Okay. So once you know how many days you're going to work, you have to figure out a budget and figure out what your collection goals are going to be. You should always try to improve and increase. Figuring out what your collection goal is going to be is going to help you to know how much you need to schedule each day. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be really, really freeing for your admin team. Because when you say, well, just for argument's sake, say if our production goal per day is $8,000, that's what we have to produce, then they have the freedom to say, you know, if we're already at $9,000 for tomorrow, I'm not putting another patient in tomorrow, even if there's white space, even if there's an open hour, because I want to take that patient and move them to a day where I might not be at my production goal yet.
Right.
And so that gives the admin team the flexibility to say, this is what it's going to be. And I know that your doctors are going to come to you and say, why is there a hole in the schedule? Now you have the confidence to say, well, doctor, we agreed that if we hit this number, we could start putting patients on another day. So you go back and do your charts, go answer that email from the specialist, go in the lab and do whatever you need to do in there. I got this.
Yeah. And Chris, what Chris is saying is you got to break that whole mentality that more is just always, it's always more and more and more. And what you said is brilliant, because a lot of people will be watching this and go, look, we have a production goal. But really it comes down to collections, because production's getting weirder and weirder and weirder for everybody. I don't care if you're a fee for service practice, which now we have to ask people what that means. They go, I'm fee for service. I'm only PPO. I'm like, wait. That's not really what I would consider fee for service. And then they look at their write-offs and they're like, okay, well, my production goal, and then their gross and net productions all over that place. But the bottom line is this, you have to collect a certain amount per day. And so you've got to work further upstream, right, based on your profitability, so that everything you're doing is intentional and you're not just like more crowns, more crowns, more crowns because you feel the pressure financially. This gives everybody full visibility and the ability to help you as a team collaborate together. I love it.
Exactly. If your collection goal for the month, let's say, is $100,000, but you participate with PPOs, then you may actually need to produce about $130,000 or $140,000 to hit that $100,000 collection goal. So we also do have a document. It's a budget form that we created a few years ago, and you can plug some of those numbers in and get an average, you know, the last 3 month average of your write-offs, and add that into your collection goal, so that you can figure out exactly what you need to produce so that you are sure to hit that collection goal. Because it's all based on collections. I don't care what you produce. You could produce $8 million, but if you're only collecting three of that, that doesn't mean, that's terrible.
If you're producing eight and you're collecting three, you need a coach.
You're in big trouble
and you're going to get divorced and a heart attack and everything else, because you're working, you know. And let me just say this before we move on to the next one. Like, a big part of that, what Chris is saying, is the write-offs are important, because people might be collecting 100% of their net collections, but they're writing off 25%, which means this, if you're collecting 75% of your gross production and maybe 100% of your net collection, you know, production, that means you're working one out of every 4 days for free. Now, that should freak you out, because I know that you're stressed already. And then just don't stay there. Now we're going to go to one every 5 days for free, one every 6 days for free, and slowly titrate that pressure out of the practice. But that comes with great knowledge. And that's why I love having a great coach who's like, nope, you're not doing that. We're doing this. And
right.
That's and powerful.
Schedule more strategically, then you put yourself in a position where you can make better decisions. And if your goal and if your vision is to try to step away from some of these insurances and you've got this part down, then you're in a better position to do some of that. So, yeah. And that's a conversation for a whole other show.
Right. And I love this because we could talk for 4 hours on this. And I would just say, if you're a dentist, write these three things. Every decision you make from here has to give you three things. More joy, number one. More time and more money. If it fits those three categories, like for the most part, you're doing the right things. Joy comes with doing the right things, but like, just don't do something for more money. If you hate it, that's dumb. Mm-hmm. Or if you're doing something and it doesn't give you more time, you know, you got to look at all of these things. And that's the mark of a truly smart dentist is like, okay, how do I get more time back? Because our highest producers that you and I work with, they're not working 221 days a year. Like, we've got young ones that have figured this out and they're working how many days a year, Chris?
180.
180 or 170 or 175. And they're producing it.
They're killing it.
They're killing it. Like, I got a young dentist, one of them, like, I won't say no names. She's doing so well and she's driving the crappiest car ever. I'm like, you got money now. And she's like, shh, don't tell me. But that's the mark. You can truly control all these variables. You don't have to get angry every time somebody mentions XYZ insurance and go, that's the reason my practice is dying in this state. So, all right, let's stay on track. We'll get back here.
So step three is making room for new patients, making room for scaling and root planing, your perio patients. Oftentimes we just jam the schedule with things and then all of a sudden we're like, oh shoot, we don't have any time for this new patient. Somebody calls and we don't have a new patient appointment for 3 or 4 weeks. And that's not a good place to be. We have to get those patients in within at least a week and sometimes even sooner. There are offices that try to get them in within 3 days and sometimes the same day if we can. But it's whatever your vision is for that. But I would say that 3 weeks is way too long because what do you think that patient's going to do after they hang up?
Oh, yeah. They're going to forget everything. Are you sure I even called you?
Right.
You know, their life interruptions happen or the mailbox comes and I get a new bill or the water filter goes out or the gutters break or something. Right. So we know and
go down the list to the next doctor and, you know, who can get me in sooner. So, there is another sheet that we're going to share and it's an Excel document and it's basically, it gives you the ability to use historical data to figure out how many new patient blocks you need every month, how many scaling and root planing blocks you need, perio maintenance blocks, emergency visits, all of those things. So it tells you exactly what reports to run. You plug in the data, it'll do the calculation for you and say, you know, you need 3 new patient blocks a week and then get them in the schedule. You have to block them and they have to be sacred. Yep. There's nothing worse than people trying to fill that up. And it happens most in hygiene. And I can say that as a hygienist, because when I'm in the chair, when I have a patient in the chair and they're telling me, you know, I want my next 3 month appointment to be at 8 o'clock in the morning on a Thursday. And that's where I have an SRP block. It's hard to not give the patient at the chair that time. So,
sure.
You know, I just want to make sure that we hold those blocks sacred because they're there for a reason. They're there to accommodate the patients who need to be accommodated. If we are finding and diagnosing periodontal disease, the worst thing for anybody is to talk to the patient about how serious this infection is, how life-threatening it can be, and then tell them that we can see them in 6 months for their scaling and root planing. That is just not, they're getting two separate messages there. So we have to make sure that we have that time to see those patients and keep that block open.
Yeah.
And then you as a team can decide when do we release it. So for example, if it's Monday morning and we're in huddle and I have a block on Wednesday afternoon for scaling and root planing, we might say at huddle, okay, that block is still there. If I don't see anybody today that needs that, we're going to just release that block and put a recare patient in there or somebody who needs sealants or something like that. So you know, you give yourself a little bit of time to get it done, but then you release it about 2 business days early.
Mm-hmm.
And then Absolutely. You can fill it with anything.
Yeah, it's okay to leave those spaces. Dentists hate spaces in conversation. They hate spaces in schedule. They hate spaces in teeth. Spaces are good. Like, keep a space for the important things.
Right, right. So that's step three. And like I said, we will have that document. I'll make sure that gets loaded. Also, step four. This is something that came up a couple years ago, and I thought it was super interesting. And you may have heard of this too, Kirk, that the best type of unit to have in your schedule is a 10-minute unit, not a 15-minute unit.
Yeah, I've heard that. Now, tell me why. And if I heard the same thing, I want
right.
to know.
Right. So in that same, you know, 190-day example I gave at the beginning, if you have 15-minute units, then you are costing yourself 7 days a year in unused time.
That's a
and
lot.
And basically it means that with 10-minute units, you have the flexibility for something that is going to be a 20-minute appointment, a 20-minute tissue check, or something that's a more simple procedure that can be done in 20 minutes. It can't be done in 15, so you give it 30.
Right.
And then the patient leaves. And so you just have a lot more flexibility. Now, I'm going to say that, but I don't want you to think that I want you to, you know, when you're done watching this podcast, to go and change your schedule to a 10-minute if you're doing 15 now. Do some research on it. Do your due diligence. Call your software company. Find out, is this going to be a problem? Some of them may say, don't do it yet, you know, wait a little bit. So I would follow their instructions and their ideas, but it's definitely something to consider.
Right. Absolutely. I've heard the same thing. And again, it goes back to really understanding how to best utilize your time mm-hmm. within the time that you have allowed for your practice, which yep. is brilliant.
Yep. Step five is to create a template for each operatory and basically figure out what procedures you want to do in what rooms. Now, if you are truly utilizing 2 great assistants who are expanded functions, and you can basically go back and forth, prep a tooth and leave, then this is going to be a little bit more of a 50-50 for you. But if you're not, a lot of my offices like to think about their first column or first room as a primary room. And then the second column is their secondary room, meaning that they'll do crown seats and maybe 1 or 2 surface composites in there, tissue checks, new patients, things like that. But they reserve that first column for their crown and bridge, implants, things like that. And I think it was Linda Miles who said that you have to think about it in terms of your primary column gets 60% of your time, your secondary column gets 30% of your time, and then 10% of your time goes to hygiene checks.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you plan it that way, you can think about where you're going to be throughout the day.
Yeah. And I love this because here's the cool thing. You're a dentist in the United States of America or any other country that you're watching this. You create those templates in those operatories. Now, the important piece of this whole thing is that you value your time enough that you can communicate clearly with other people, including team members and patients, about when this time is best for both of us. So if you say, hey, look, I like to do my prepping in the morning at 7 a.m., you can say to a patient, this is when we do this, and it's at 7 a.m. So Nancy's going to take you up to the front, or better yet, we're going to get you scheduled here for a nice 7 a.m. You can expect to be here for 3 hours, and you're guiding the patient in the time instead of saying something like this. Do you like mornings or afternoons?
Ugh.
What do you like? I want to shoot somebody when they say that. Now, I mean, nicely, probably with a paper gun or something like that. But really, and then I don't know who the heck teaches this. Do you like mornings or afternoons? Don't say that either, because that just screams, you can schedule whenever you want.
Right.
No, there's a time where you do this best. And it's so cool when you're doing it in the best interest of the patient, probably your best energy to do those procedures. And as you get older or more mature as a dentist, you know when those are.
Right, exactly.
We don't have many 50-year-old dentists prepping crowns at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I don't think we have one.
No, and it's, you know, and that's such a good point, because I actually do have a younger dentist and he doesn't care. Like, he's just like, I'll do it whenever. And that's great. You know, they have their time and that's where they're going to put the patient. And, you know, you can, that's the beauty of it. You can do it whenever you want to do it. But I would say you have to be, again, going back to the word strategic, we cannot just let the patients dictate the schedule. We have to put them where it makes the most sense for us. And I'm not opposed to giving the patients choices either, but I would say, Mrs. Jones, would you like to come in this Wednesday or next Wednesday?
Yeah.
Right. Would you like to come in at 8 o'clock or 2 o'clock? And now, you know, you've given her a choice. However, both of those choices are good for you.
Yeah. So research shows patients feel powerful when they have two choices. Mm-hmm. But let me help you with this. They're two of my choices. Exactly. Do you know what I mean? I've got 8 a.m. on this day or 9 a.m. on this day. Bug eyes.
Right.
You know, you pick. So it's critically important that patients are choosing the right time. And they will. I mean,
they will. Really, it's hard in the beginning, especially if it's something that you've not done before. If your patients are used to having free reign of your schedule, it's going to take some time to get them aligned with how you're doing things. And so it's very simple. You just let the patients know, Mrs. Jones, we have found that the best thing that we can do for you is to put you in a time that we know we can get you in and get you out in the appropriate amount of time for this procedure. When you don't come in at this time, we can't tell you when you might be able to leave.
Right. Now, I know we're not through all of your secrets yet, Chris, but if you're a dentist watching this, you have to understand one of the single biggest secrets to improving your business financially, emotionally, everything is time. It's the schedule. Now, this is complete. You wouldn't do this, but we could double, Chris and I could completely double your production in 1 month. We could double it. I can guarantee we double it. Here's how we would do it. We take everybody out of the schedule for the next 3 months, everybody. And we just park every appointment here. And then you and I would pick only the green bricks and we put all the green bricks in there first. Green bricks. Now that's preposterous. You couldn't do that, but that would show you could easily double your production overnight in 1 day's notice if we only had green bricks in there. Now, the whole idea is this. If you're practicing for 3 full decades, how do we do a little bit more of that every single day so that if you're looking at yellow and red bricks and a few green bricks here and there, 2 years from now, you're like, it's most half of the day is green bricks. And then I got a whole bunch of others. And then, you know, 20 years from now, you're like, 75% of my day is green bricks. Now you're in a completely different place. Your production per hour is different. You're happier. You're pretty much working with the people that value what you do most in the time that you do it best. So I love this.
Yep, exactly. And figuring out who are the patients that want to be served by you, who align with your vision. Don't fill up your schedule with the people who you know are not going to show up anyway, or they're going to come in late, or they're going to give your team a hard time, not paying. So why are we putting them in the schedule? You know, have as few of those red and yellow bricks as possible.
Yeah, I can fix that. We just charge a cancellation fee to all those people, and that'll just improve your practice overnight. No, because they'll give you
cut off the minute that they complain to.
Oh, they'll go to Yelp immediately and just destroy you. So, okay.
Okay. So step 6 is to investigate with your practice software if you are able to color code your appointment blocks. So I would say, you know, pick a color for, you know, maybe high production or high energy blocks are green, and then crown seats might be yellow. And, you know, you could do it by dollar amount if you want. I know that some of the softwares will even allow you to put a little alert in there. So if I say I want to specify this particular block for anything that's over $1,000, if I try to put something in there that's $500 or even $900, it'll warn me and say, this is a high production block. Are you sure you want to schedule this patient here? And so you just have to click through it if you want to, but it just reminds us that, hey, we're trying to be strategic here. We're trying to do this in the best interest of ourselves and in the best interest of the patient. So figure that out too. Can I do that? And get that set up. And then those are sacred. Write a system for it. There has to be a scheduling system. One of the things I find is that if everything is just in people's heads, then not only is it not happening because it's not written down, but then there is no way to hold people accountable to it. Right. How can you say to somebody, hey, how come you didn't do this when you didn't take the time to create a system and write it down? Then there's no way to hold people accountable.
Yeah, if it isn't written down, it doesn't exist. And people people are more distracted than ever. And you're like, don't you remember we talked about this 3 weeks ago? And they're like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And so it allows you to be able to create the sanity and clarity and predictability that you need. As we create a system, you can always tweak it. You can make it better, but it becomes the stabilizing document that we all have. Everybody has it. Applebee's has it. Jimmy John's has it. You know, every restaurant has scalable, predictable systems that allow people to give their best energy to things that matter most, which is the patient in front of them. And that's really the key because, you know, and let me just speak to the team members here too, Chris, what you said, a lot of team members get hired in a role like this and the doctor goes, go. And the team member goes, go where? And they go up front. And then they go to work and the dentist is like, what are you doing? And they're like, well, you never trained me. You know, I thought you knew where to put all these. Like, we've got to give team members the benefit of the doubt, give them the right skills, training, everything, so that when we onboard them, instead of waterboard them because they're coming to work for us, like, they know what they're doing and they can succeed in that role. And we mutually agreeable, like, you have a great situation with people that are around you. So I love the idea of having it all written down, because the other thing happens when you write it down, people go, I didn't know that. And you go, yeah, that's exactly how I like the schedule.
Right. Yeah. Picking out, when I talk about creating a template for the day, it's about what do you want to do most of? What do you want to grow in your practice? What's going to make you smile throughout the day? Don't do endo if you don't like doing endo.
You know? Let me pause you right there. You don't like doing endo. People, I like doing it. No, you don't. And they go, yeah, I do. I go, no, you don't. And so...
I mean, I get that it could be fun for the doctor, but the assistants hate it, I can guarantee you.
The only people that should be doing that. No. Okay. Never mind. I'll get in trouble for this one. So, yeah, absolutely. Whatever you want. And now this goes for doctor and hygiene, right? Because those are going to be two completely different templates, correct?
Sure. Exactly. And what's really, really nice, again, is that you can do this any way you want. And one of the things I love to do is if the doctor has a day where they're doing like a high energy, let's say your doctor places implants in the office, then on that day, don't have so many hygiene exams. Let's do more scaling and root planing during that time, or perio maintenance, or 3 and 4 month recalls that don't need exams. And try to be strategic about that so that our doctor doesn't have to get pulled away, especially when they're doing a surgical procedure. I mean, that's a big rigmarole to have to degown, deglove, go do it again, then come back and do more surgical gloving. And it just doesn't make any sense. So it's not just about the doctor's schedule. It's also about collaborating and coordinating that with the hygiene schedule.
Yeah, absolutely. This is absolutely brilliant. So any other last thoughts you have, Chris, when it comes to the schedule?
I do. I have one more bonus little step, and this is for the admin team members. So when we talk about scheduling and being strategic about the schedule, one of the things that we cannot forget to talk about is being strategic with our admin team. So I always talk about downtime when I'm talking about the schedule, because if I'm the hygienist in your practice and I do have an open hour, that is just kind of unforeseen open time that now I can stock my room, I can sharpen my instruments, I can make recare calls, I can do all of those things. But just because I had an opening in my schedule does not mean that my admin team now has time to do what they need. They still have 5 other patients coming in and out. So admin team needs to schedule their downtime to get done the statements, the insurance follow-ups, verifying insurance benefits for new patients, following up with new patients, unscheduled treatment. There's so many things that the admin team is responsible for that we say when there's time, we'll do it. But I don't want to wait for there to be time to call those patients who have treatment plans that haven't been scheduled. So I want admin team to create their own block schedule of when they're going to do those things. And it's so, so important for them to do it. You would not believe it might take you all day to get one little thing done in between answering the phone, checking in patients, checking out patients, that if you just sequestered yourself in the back office for 90 minutes, you would get so much done. And just tell yourself, I'm not going to answer the phone. Pretend I'm not even here. just going to get this stuff done.
Yeah.
And you'll be so much more productive.
Absolutely. There's so many of those things when you land the airplane and you're working on it, it just works more efficiently. I'll just tell you, if you're a dentist, that is powerful what Chris said. And then if you're an admin person and you're listening to this and your doctor won't let you, just say, let's switch places for a day. You know what I mean? Or just work my role for a day and see, the work is never done. It just keeps getting higher and higher and higher. And what a great sense of accomplishment you give the person that works there to know that files are closed, things are done. Wow, her desk is clean. He or she needs space up there to get those things done, not just to constantly be reacting to chaos everywhere.
Right. So, and that's what happens at the front desk. It's just, it's like Grand Central Station.
No, I consider it a bunker where people just throw grenades in them and say, good luck with that one. Wow. You know, they don't even care what happened. They just throw it at them. So it's really important to have these conversations, mutual understanding, help each other. So you don't create that situation where you got that battle between the front and the back, which people fall into very easily because most are misunderstood, you know. So this is powerful stuff. So, Chris, anything else?
No, I think that's it.
You are awesome. We are going to have Chris back for so many other things. And I just love asking her these questions and the rest of the ACT coaches, because it's just, it's powerful when you can start to make sense of this. So if you're a dentist watching this, your schedule is a huge part of you being happier and more productive. And the more you get it right, the more everything works. So keep working on it. Also, if you're a dentist watching this and you're just kind of thinking, gosh, I'm struggling with my practice, it's not getting any better, the bottom line is you have to have progress every year. I don't care if it's us. I don't care if it's somebody else. Get some help. Reach out and say, look, how can I make this better? I now work with a coach. We work with a coach, and we have for years. I will never not work with a coach, because a coach is not in your practice and they can say things to you no one else can, and they can punch you in the face verbally. I mean, it's so great because they're not caught in your battle and they're also dealing with all these other things and they see what works. So there's great, great power. And so, Chris, thank you for being on.
Stick
around while we say goodbye to everybody else. But thank you guys for watching the Best Practices Show. And if you found this valuable, which I hope you did, do us a huge favor, hit the share button, share this with your friends. Keep sending us suggestions for shows that you want to see. And until we see you next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show. You guys have a great day.